Gavin's Den is Wrecking Ball Radio.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den, Filling the Void. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than burning the roof of your mouth with pizza. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt, and the whole gang is here. Hello, Joe Curry.
Hello.
And Pip Helix, too.
Hi, guys.
Everybody's here. Yay.
Yeah, indeed.
Right. Anyway, on the show, we're going to be interviewing Eric Youngstrom, who is a Navy veteran, and he had his pictures stolen from social media, maybe other places, and those pictures were stolen by scammers and used to actively scam women all over the world. Still going on. This is a side of the story that people don't often get to hear. We hear from the victims of people who have been scammed from time to time, but we don't often get to hear from the military personnel who've had their pictures stolen. So we got that on the show. We're also going to be having a great debate of absurdity on the bigger food foul, using a knife and fork for a hamburger, or using a knife and fork for pizza. This is something that needs to be fleshed out, and we shall hash it out, and Pip shall moderate. And probably most important thing that we're going to talk about all year is that important, has that much gravitas.
Of course it does.
Pornhub has a new way for you to lose weight while watching their product. So we're going to tell you how to do that. This is why you tune in for things like that. But I want to start with, something that's been bubbling for a little while, and now I feel it needs our attention. It's certainly been in the news a lot. Transgenders and their penchant for using public bathrooms and the outrage that this has, for lack of a better word, engendered. Thought of that.
See what you did there.
And President Obama is not for these laws that some call discriminatory.
Right.
That's the word.
That thing.
And so he sent a letter to school. So here's the deal. Started with this. North Carolina has a new law that a person must use the public bathroom of the gender they were born to instead of what they identify with unless they get it changed on their birth certificate. The law bars local municipalities from creating their own rules prohibiting discrimination in public places based on sexual orientation and gender identity. So basically a town can't say, well, we don't want to follow the state law.
Right.
So there are no safe havens. It is called the Public Facilities Privacy and Security Act. It sounds like something used to fight terrorism, but I guess it's chicks with things. Anyway, corporations can't say what they are.
Like purses.
Yes. 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 Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Corporations and entertainers have protested against this law and has cost North Carolina millions of dollars. Critics call the law anti-LGBT, saying it discriminates against gay and transgender residents. But supporters argue the law defends religious liberty and protects girls in public restrooms. Governor McCrory of North Carolina defended the law, saying it was to ensure that the expectation of privacy would remain in our high schools and our universities and our community and colleges. The Obama administration issued guidance directing public schools to allow transgender students to use bathrooms matching their gender identity. This latest guidance for schools goes beyond the bathroom issue, touching upon privacy rights, education records, and sex-segregated athletics, all but guaranteeing transgender students the right to identify in school as they choose. The letter does not carry the force of law, but the message was clear: fall in line or face loss of federal funding. Most Americans, including Governor McCrory, believe that the government is searching for a solution to a problem that has yet to be defined. That's from McCrory. Now, both the federal courts and the U.S. Congress must intercede to stop this massive executive branch overreach, which clearly oversteps constitutional authority. That's McCrory. All right. Were you aware, guys, of this epidemic of transgender predators hanging out in public bathrooms in hopes of raping people?
What I'm not.
Just answer the question, then you could go on. It's a yes or no.
No.
Okay. Were you aware?
No.
Okay. Go on, Joe.
Now, what I'm wondering is that if it's being blown out of proportion, where it seems the way the news is portraying this is that everybody's transgender and nobody can figure out where to go to the bathroom.
No. The transgender people know where to go to the bathroom. Here's the thing about transgender people: they've been around 30 years. This is not a new thing.
That's what I'm saying, where the news makes it like, you know, suddenly everybody's transgender. I agree with you. It's been around for 30 years. I know a couple of
There's
people.
There's a very small...
We know a couple of people. Yeah, a very small
amount. Well, why do we need to make laws for this? Do we have nothing more pressing? Is every problem solved?
It should be made down to every municipality would make their own judgment on that. Now, the only thing that can...
But again, why? There's no issue. There's not one single case of a transgender person going into a public bathroom, holding their nose, and raping somebody.
But the thing about it is, and, you know, it, and this is... It, it gets very... I'm very on the fence about it. It's a very tricky thing. If they enact this law, what is propensity of people that are perverted, that would that are not really transgender, but would take advantage of that to do perverted things?
I am going to use the gun argument, the argument that gun lobbyists use when it comes to this, about these laws. Because gun lobbies say, well, you don't need new laws because criminals are still going to do criminal acts. Criminals are still going to get guns illegally. So that's why you don't need new laws. We have plenty of laws. It's not going to stop the bad people. Creating these laws is not going to stop predators. Predators are still going to find a way to assault, rape, do whatever they're going to do.
It might make it easier for them, though.
How?
No.
Because nobody can question them if they're going into a woman's bathroom.
But no, how do you enforce this? Because there are presumably this is going to be enforced, which reminds me of Donald Trump's proclamation of temporarily banning Muslims from coming to the country, which, again, people like it. Fine, whatever the case. How do you enforce that? Because here's the thing: people lie. Are we all walking around with birth certificates? Is there going to be a balls bouncer at the door? How does this even work?
If somebody's dressed like if somebody's transgender, and they're dressed like that, and they go into a ladies' room, do you feel a lot of the women would feel uncomfortable?
I don't think anybody knows.
Would you feel uncomfortable?
You'd feel uncomfortable with a transgender person?
No, I'd feel uncomfortable with somebody checking to see if I have a hoo-ha or not.
Yeah.
Get the hell out of my bathroom and let me pee.
I gotta pee. I gotta pee. I just had a liter of Diet Coke. I had Mexican food. I need the bathroom. I don't have time for the TSA search.
At school, I've taken showers next to people that I knew was a man there. I don't care. He's not popping in.
Well, you made them gay. You are the gay maker.
I am the gay maker. But I know that he's just taking a shower. So am I. So the water is mixing on the floor. Woo! I really don't care.
But
he's not popping
over
the... But
that's a very extreme... Like, I understand why people would not want to take... Why a woman would not want to take a shower with a man next... That's a very extreme case.
That's a very extreme case. Now, normally, you go into the bathroom, you go in the stall, you do your business, you leave. Women are at much more risk just being at home, walking down the streets, being in a bar, than they are in the bathroom. If this was actually about protecting women, how come we don't have more of an uproar about how many women are raped and sexually assaulted in this country than we do? This isn't about protecting women. This is about shaming transgender people.
All right. Now, with that in mind, is the article saying that more women than men? It'd be interesting. Maybe we could find it really quick. If more men than women are outraged on this. Because the whole thing is being now, like I said, I'm on the fence about this. I'm not. I don't know what position I really want to take on this.
Get the surgery, you'll know.
Because
if he sits on a fence, he might be giving himself the surgery.
There's very valid points on both ends of the spectrum.
I can't think of a valid point on the course of the law because we don't have an issue with this.
But basically, what people are worried about is there might be a perverted element that might take advantage.
Yes,
of this.
and they are called Republican senators. There's been more Republican sexual assault in bathrooms than there's been trans. We don't have a single case of
using that as a logic. We keep them out of the bathroom.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying.
Republican senators have to use a tree.
Please understand what I mean here.
If there was an epidemic of transgender people assaulting people in bathrooms, I might have a different position. We got to stop this.
So basically what the thing is, and it'd be interesting to see, is basically we're worried about, on the woman's end, perverted people getting into the ladies' room. I wonder how much of a percentage of outcry are from women more than men over the topic.
Hold on one second. Now, what you just said is interesting, and I don't think that you meant it this way, but you said we're worried about perverted people getting into the bathroom. That's not what this is about. This is about keeping transgender people out of the bathroom. They're not the perverts.
Exactly.
They're not attacking women.
The law
perverts are attacking women.
Yes, the law assumes that transgender people are predators. It makes that assumption. It's like me assuming every gun owner is a criminal. It makes that assumption.
Well, the thing is, if you even... All right, let's take statistics. If you look at the statistics... Transgendered people are by and large much more likely to be attacked than they're doing the attacking. There is no case of transgendered people attacking people in bathrooms. That isn't what's happening.
Right. And that's what I'm more curious about, because basically what I'm saying is the worry is, and basically the argument is transgender people, should they use the room? And transgender people are not looking to make trouble. However, the argument against it is we're worried about a certain element you know, a perverted element getting into the bathroom is due to the transgender law. That's where it's coming from. So with the whole thing, and mainly protecting women, it's on the women's side. Men, you know, but on the women's side. I don't want my daughter to be. I don't want my daughter, blah, 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 blah. All right, so let's find out how many of the percentage of women are, you know, are out there, you know.
Well, how many women are out there that are worried about being attacked by transgendered people specifically in the bathroom? Yep. They're not. They're not worried about being attacked by transgendered people. North Carolina made this up.
All right. Well, don't go anywhere. You guys figure it out for yourselves. Wear chastity belts. I don't know what to tell you. When we come back, our interview with part one with Eric Youngstrom. Don't go anywhere. We are back. You are listening to Davin's End. Thank you for hanging out with us. Very spirited conversation. We could have done a lot more on that topic. But right now, I was very happy to do this interview. It's with a former Navy man. It's Navy man.
I think that's appropriate.
Eric Youngstrom. So this is part one of the interview. Hope you guys enjoy. He tells what it's like to get his pictures taken and used for crime. Erica, thank you for taking the time to talk with us. How are you?
I'm good. Yourself?
I'm very well, thank you. I know it's a little early in the morning where you are. You're on West Coast time.
Correct.
Well, like I said, I appreciate this. This is going to shed some light on an important topic, and I think it's going to help some people. When were you in the military, Eric?
I served from 1992 to 2014, I believe. That's when I retired officially.
Oh, wow. You were in for quite some time. What branch were you in?
U.S. Navy the entire time.
U.S. Navy. Were you stationed overseas at times or locally?
All over, yeah, but I was stationed overseas. And I deployed overseas often.
Were you in combat zones? I know you were on a ship, but were you in, like, hot areas?
Yeah. Well, I was in combat zones when I was on the ship, but I was also in Iraq. I was in Africa. I did some JPAC mission. Well, I did a JPAC mission in Southeast Asia and Laos, and things like that.
Well, good. Well, we appreciate your service. When you were in the military, did they educate you as to the importance of keeping your social media and pictures locked and secured from people you did not know?
They did later on. Initially, I mean, it was, you know, you always practice OPSEC as far as telling where, you know, telling family or other people, you know, displaying where you're going and when you're going to be back. But initially, it wasn't like, at least on Facebook and, like, I guess when there was MySpace and other sites, you know, social media. It wasn't, you know, as far as pictures go, like, I was naive to it, and I'm semi-tech savvy. As far as, you know, like, I learned later on after getting enough women coming forward, you know, telling me that, you know, somebody's using my pictures, and then I started looking at what pictures they were showing. They were, like, my profile pictures or cover pictures to Facebook, for example, and, like, MySpace, which I left the account years and years ago. Yeah, I finally got mine canceled, but it took, like, pulling teeth to get it canceled. But I was naive to, like, you know, if I posted family pictures and stuff, you know, sometimes I would post it, you know, why for the friends. I didn't think there's anything of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I would start noticing, like, pictures of myself and my son, you know, these, you know, stuff that people were using. But the profile pics and especially the cover pics on Facebook, which I don't think a lot of people realize, when you post a cover, your cover picture, which is the background picture on your own personal Facebook page, that's automatically public and it can't be changed.
Correct. That and your profile picture.
Profile picture, you can alter it after you post it if you know, with enough time.
But you can change. You can change your cover picture on Facebook. You could change it.
You can change it, but you can't change the. I've looked into it, and it's like I tried to click on it, and it pretty much says public. So, like, your background picture behind your actual your profile picture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you put it like a background, big deal. But if you put like a family photo, like, you know, like a family gathering, that's everywhere over the net.
Yes,
it just takes a second for somebody to grab it.
Absolutely.
Once they grab it, you know, that's why I've had some women come forward even recently. They go, "Why don't you take the pictures on our block?" I'm like, "Oh, I have, but once they're out there, they're there. I can't, you know, track each individual person that has them down because they're on other people's computers and servers now, and they can just get passed around through these scam artists. Once that picture is out there, there's little I can do from my side, self forward, you know, that I'm not allowing. You know, because of this, it's made me be much more private and, you know, less sharing on the internet.
Now, like, going back to the training, because you brought up you started in 92 and you retired in 2006, the technology was certainly evolving, and the threats of having your pictures stolen were obviously getting greater and greater. So I'm guessing towards the end, they started to teach you guys a little bit. At that time, MySpace was the big one. What were some of the things they told you?
I don't recall anything directly about social media. It's just protecting, like, what you say. It was more about protecting the military as far as, like, OPSEC, as far as movement, where you worked, details like that. They were, I don't recall anything detailed, like, make sure you set your privacy setting for your pictures that you share on, like, Facebook to, like, just friends only. I don't recall anything like that, but it's more about ship movement or troop movement, giving out details, people fishing for information from that you don't know, which I was always protective of that. I'm very skeptical in that regard.
From my dealings with the military and the OPSEC, it does seem like they've been playing somewhat of catch up with that. They're trying to
I honestly believe they have, and somebody that's been on it for a while. But and part of it was, even when I would post like something like public, like a picture of myself in uniform, early on, mm-hmm. 5-10 years ago, I didn't who's going to use my picture? Not to be self deprecating, but like I just wouldn't. I'm in the Navy and I'm not doing anything cool. At least in my perspective.
Yeah, it didn't dawn on you that that our uniforms project power and trustworthiness and good throughout the world and in this country. It makes you an attractive target for somebody who wants to take those and tarnish them, unfortunately.
Yeah, I've kind of seen that. I see that more now. This has obviously happened, but like I just I look at myself as some small fish in a big pond. Like I'm not. I wasn't doing podcasts, or I wasn't really out there heavily on the internet as far as my presence. I thought so. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why would anybody bother? At least initially, and it wasn't something I put a lot of thought into. It was just like, I've heard of the scammers, but I put like almost zero thought into it until
it happened.
Started contacting me, like, who's this person from Russia? Who's this person from Italy? Or who's this person from XYZ? Or even people from the States. I'm like, and I'd look at it and go, are you in the Marines? I'm like, oh, they show the picture that this person was talking, that they were corresponding with and sending money to. And I'm like, my uniform says Navy right on it. How, and they misspelled, they misspelled some other, basic military word. I'm like, I feel bad for people like that, but it's like, if I get pictures like that, I can easily, spot a, oh, this is wrong, this is false.
Well, you have to keep in mind, sometimes the heart overpowers the mind, and these scammers, this is their career, so that unfortunately they know how to explain things away. But yes, I certainly have thought the same things when victims have come to me, and I'll be like, well, it's right here, you just have to look. But unfortunately, at that point, they're being ruled by emotion.
Right. And even if, and when they report my goal, a lot of them I've blocked. It's because it went away for a while. Like, I got them initially, and then I'd look into it, like, okay, well, I report that page, mm-hmm. And if the woman becomes harassing or just like, I think you're lying, I'm like, block.
I want to get more into that in a little bit, because I know you have had interactions, and I think it's a very important side of the story, what you've had to deal with personally, that a lot of people don't realize. I want to get that, but I kind of want to set the stage a little bit, if we can.
Okay.
How did you find out that you were the victim of identity theft? Because, as you said, this was not something that was on your radar at all.
It was a German older woman came to me, contacted me. Can't recall if it was through Facebook or email somehow, or maybe it was through YouTube. By the name of Monica. And she informed me, and she did a couple of videos about scammers, mm-hmm. People using my picture and other guys' pictures. I'm not alone, obviously. And I was like, shocked. And then she explained it to me, and we became internet friends and corresponded throughout the years. I can't recall when she first contacted me about this, but then I started seeing other women come forward or start to contact me, because I found I've learned more things about Facebook in the last year than I had the previous 10 years or how many years I've had it. As far as, I didn't realize that, your message settings, there's a, it says message requests, or there's, stuff where, you have to look at the filter requests.
Right.
It will show, if you don't, because I have my settings and such where, I don't see everybody requesting, to talk.
Right.
There's just a laundry list of women, I found your picture, and you're saying you're this person, and, it's long, long, long letters.
Yeah, well, Facebook has other mailboxes. People think there's just the main mailbox.
I also know about the filters, you can block people, obviously, but I also learned about the I forget the name of it. It's a it's in your block settings where you can actually filter out if you get, you know, excessive flack from friends or just spam. There's a it's a restricted setting. Basically, you go to blocked and it'll I believe it's called the restricted list, and you can put something in the restricted list, and they'll only see anything you put public. They won't see anything else from you, but you can still remain friends with
right.
them.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. Facebook.
These are things I've learned just from talking with Monica, then a few other women that seemed like okay. You know, I kind of figured it out eventually. I just wanted to contact you, let you know that people are using your picture, and there's a woman in Russia become internet friends with, just talking, and like one other woman in the States, just like she got duped because she got contacted through a friend of hers. Like her friend was like going off on me. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not this person. I understand. She's hurt, and she sent him money. It's not me, and then I contacted her, and the actual girl that got duped, and we become friends.
Mm-hmm.
She realizes it got tricked, and it's not me. And
so when Monica reaches out to you, and you find out that your pictures are all over the internet being used to scam them, what were you feeling?
Oh well, I was more worried about my personal information, but I realized that was protected, but my image and I don't know to what percentage how much my pictures are being used, but it was a little hurt. I was like, first I was like, why me? I don't, I just didn't see the, like, why my picture as opposed to any number of other military members. Were like, I could literally Google search men in uniform and find 1,000 other pictures other than mine. And I'm trying to figure out, because like in the States it's a little more difficult, but like I was overseas. I was actually in Africa I was downrange with an army team in a remote location in Djibouti, and we had internet connection there, and it probably wasn't that protected. So that, I think, there's probably a good chance that's where it was. Some of the pictures were taken.
You think you were hacked while you were in Djibouti?
I'm guessing, because I'm sure that our protection wasn't that well at that internet connection we had at the house we were stationed at. We had an internet connection through a local company.
Mm-hmm.
I did just something I never really thought about. I'm like, because I'm not like putting out information or sending out stuff. Like, oh, go on Facebook, da da da. I'm here and just like send a picture like where I'm at. Not like location, but like who used the we were on a hike up in the mountain. One of those type of pictures. I don't think those showed up, but like I see a lot. The ones I see are either cover photos I've used, my profile pic when because I used to just change a profile pic. And I never would think of going back and changing privacy settings to...
Back, Davin's Den, fill in the void. What'd you guys think?
Interesting.
Very interesting.
One of the things that... he mentioned is once the picture's out there or they've been taken, they're out there. You can't get them back or you can't keep them from the wrong hands.
And victims, they have this expectation that when they contact somebody whose picture's there, they'll go, oh, okay, I'll get on right on top of that.
Yeah.
You can only go forward and protect what you put out there in the future. As Joe said, once they're out there, they're gone.
Yeah, and you don't know what's going to happen, where they go. You can't control it. It's very disquieting, that the you have no control over something that is being represented of you in a wrong way.
Right. I mean, it's not that I think that any of these people are being, they don't understand that, they're going to put the picture out and it's like, then it's going to be, once it's on the internet, it's there.
Right.
But I don't think that they think, people are going to use it for bad things and now it's out there and I can't take it back.
They're like the rest of us.
That.
They're sharing it with their family.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what a shame that, the girl sees who she thinks it is and so she goes off on him and it's like, no, it's not me. What are you talking about?
And you can see they didn't have the, what they call OPSEC. They didn't have the type of OPSEC training.
Yeah.
In the early part of the aughts, at the turn of the
everything was just being figured out. I mean, we were everything is just everybody's figuring it out. New technology that we don't know where.
And you could hear him say he thought, like we often did with our pictures, well, nobody wants to pretend to be me.
Right.
We all have that. We assume that.
Well, he said, I'm not being self-deprecating. I just figured, there's a lot of guys out there. Why me?
We all think that.
Right.
About ourselves, not about him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I can understand that, but a lot of girls that they use their pictures, they might be just really cute girls and they're like, I'm no supermodel, but sometimes the girl next door is what people want.
Part 2 next week. Come on back for that. Right now, coming up. Great Debates of Absurdity. We're back. Listen to Davin's Den, filling in the void. We're going to do a Great Debate of Absurdity. I haven't done it in a while, and this sprung up from my Facebook page and Pip's poor attitude. So, enjoy it. So you can thank Pip for this.
Our country has seen great debates in history. Lincoln Douglas, 1858. Nixon Kennedy, 1960. Bush Clinton and Perot in 1992. But that all stops now. Welcome to Davin's Den's Great Debates in Absurdity.
Okay, so tonight's Great Debate of Absurdity stems from a question I innocently put on Facebook. Which is a bigger offensive food foul? Eating a hamburger with a knife and fork or eating pizza on knife and fork? And a lot of people weighed in on the old Facebook page, and a lot of people felt that pizza, to be honest, was the greater food foul. Pip weighed in with none of those things and just had a really rotten attitude.
She just cut to the chase.
No, she didn't cut to the chase. She's like, leave me alone. I'm eating my damn food. I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah.
That will not stand. Yeah. Now
the bear needs to be punished.
Yeah. Don't call her bear just because she has a hairy back. That's rude.
And nobody's supposed to know that.
Exactly. Now she will moderate this. She will moderate this, and we will have opening statements, and then she will ask us questions. Joe, you make your opening statement, please, on why pizza is the most offensive food foul to eat with a knife.
Because pizza was made to be eaten without the use of a knife and a fork. Because pizza comes from the word pisano, or paisano, which is friend in Italian. It was made because the workers in Italy needed a hearty lunch but couldn't bring utensils. The pie was made to be folded and eaten, and the juices and sauce captured by the crust as it was folded. In the late 18 and early 1900s, this Italian tradition was brought here to the United States and has been a food staple here ever since. To eat pizza with a knife and a fork is a blatant disrespect to Italian engineering in the fine lineage of Da Vinci and Michelangelo, and an insult to the Italian culture, and frankly, an American.
Okay, I will have mine.
Let's hear the anti, what is so egregious about eating a hamburger with a knife and fork?
The hamburger traces its earliest ancestry to the Roman Empire, and later was eaten by Genghis Khan and the Mongols as they invaded village after village. When immigrants from Germany came to New York, they wanted steak in the Hamburg style. It was a poor person's meal of seasoned ground beef. These people did not have a lot of time to eat, as they had to get back to work. So it was eaten in between two slices of bread. Today, this tradition continues, as it is traditionally a main staple of fast food restaurants. The hamburger has never been a meal that one eats with the hoity-toity knife and fork. It is a meal of the people, a meal of the working class, a meal that is to be eaten with your hands. To use a knife and a fork would not only be wrong, it would be a crime against humanity.
All right, gentlemen.
Or us.
I got to say, good opening statement.
As to you, sir.
Very passionate.
As to you, sir.
Very passionate, Castle. Very good.
My favorite was when you gave me all this Italian thing that said it'll be un-American.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, like, I can't interrupt an opening statement.
It's like, wait, which one are you? Oh, never mind. Okay.
He's covered every base.
Yeah. Okay. Now that you've both described the sacrilege it would be to use a knife and fork on each of your suggested types of food, I want to present some questions to you both. First, I'm going to ask Joe, how many additional toppings is too much to be able to handle this with your hands?
Well, there's no amount of toppings, because the beauty of the pizza is it's low, where a burger is not. Now, the toppings will sit and will be stayed in place by the melted mozzarella cheese. Where on a burger, that's not going to work. They're going to fall over, okay? So you're more apt to use a knife and fork on a burger, where a pizza, you don't need to. It's there. It's specifically made to hold it, and to do it, and to use a knife and fork is disgracing the general design of this fabulous food that we've enjoyed for years.
May I respond?
Say yes.
Mr. Curry, although a very impassioned plea for pizza, he forgets one very important detail. let's be honest, Mr. Curry, not all pizza crust is created the same. We've all had that pizza crust that was flaccid, if you will. It was not stiff, nor did it rise to the occasion. And thus, all of our pizza was floppy, and it fell off, and our toppings were askew all over the plate, thus leaving us no choice but to use a knife and a fork.
I disagree, Counselor. Basically, it's all in the...
I'm the lawyer, man.
he's all elbows.
You can call me Mr. Big Mac.
Counselor, I respectfully disagree.
The guy, we gave ourselves degrees.
I know. Excuse me, I would like to be known as Your Magnificence during this debate.
Here.
Or us.
Dumbbell comics. Counselor, I respectfully disagree. The basic way of it is the fold. The fold compensates for that, okay? Where the crust, even though there might be crusts are different, but the general assembly of the food is the same, where it's the design of the fold. The fold is the main part. The fold will always hold whatever topping on the food in.
Okay. Now, same question to you.
Which is?
How many toppings?
Oh, it's unlimited.
And
unlimited. It's just the hamburger was created to be eaten with your hands. Because think about it. You have two pieces of bread, and you smush and smush and smush down. And if you're not the smushing type, well, don't you worry. The hamburger has options. What you can do with this enormous burger of deliciousness is, because you have two pieces of bread, you can eat it like you would a well-constructed piece of pizza, and you put one piece of the hamburger bun on the bottom, another piece of the hamburger bun on the bottom. So now you have two separate sandwiches, and there a knife and fork.
However, it would be a height issue as well, and it would be a very unstable food product to eat, where using a knife and fork on that food product would be more beneficial.
I just solved that problem. You make it two sandwiches. You're fine. You get twice as much for your money.
However, it's higher than a pizza, which means that the propensity of it to fall and fail is a lot more than it would be on a pizza.
Next question. This one's to you, Joe, first. Which is worse, greasy hands or eating pizza with a spork?
Eating pizza with a spork.
Well, we're debating how egregious it would be to eat it with a knife and fork. So which is worse, having greasy hands from holding the pizza or eating it with a spork?
Greasy hands with eating the pizza would be great, because it makes it more enjoyable. You're enjoying the meal. You're feeling the meal. A spork is a disgrace, even though it is a combination between a knife and fork, which does not make it where you cannot use it. A spork, it's a spoon. You can't enjoy the pizza that way without using your hands.
Can I interject? I think he just pulled the Trump and just argued both sides of the argument on the same thing. I think he pulled the Trump.
No, I did not.
First he said it'd be worse to have greasy hands.
I said it'd be better to have greasy hands because you're enjoying the feel and feeling the meal, where a spork is just a disgrace to use it.
Well, a spork is a disgrace in general.
I understand.
It was a horrible example.
Yeah. Okay. Question to you.
Yes.
Which would be worse? To get grease and ketchup and everything on your hands, or to use a spork to eat a hamburger?
If you're using a spork, you should just kill yourself right there. I mean, really.
I object. You're not answering the question.
Well, obviously a spork, because if you're dead, you can't eat a hamburger.
Okay. Quick lightning round. Which is worse, anchovies or your significant other's morning breath?
My significant other's morning breath. Because I don't want to kill the anchovies.
They're already dead. You're not eating live anchovies on pizza.
Lightning round, pro, con, Grey Poupon on hamburgers.
What?
That's the question.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the great thing about a hamburger. A hamburger you could pass by hand from limousine to limousine, and what with the Grey Poupon.
That's it. The worst thing to do to eat with a knife and fork is pizza. Done.
You don't get to decide. It's a debate, stupid. You're not the public.
We're done.
Don't go anywhere. We're going to bring Pip back, maybe. Back to Avon's Den, last segment of the show. Good news for all you people who like... porn and are fat. there's a way to combine both your loves with whether you love yourself or others and burn some calories. And I got the I got the little commercial, part of the commercial that Pornhub put together that will explain it. Come on, open up, stupid. Still talking about the thing, not anybody.
I was like, was that foreplay?
Not anybody in the video.
Oh, okay.
It's 2016, and we move less than ever. We wake up, and we don't move. We go to work, and we don't move. Even when we move, we don't move. Our sedentary lifestyle and overloaded routine are making us neglect our health. And as a result, adult obesity has skyrocketed. To fight our inactive tendencies, we've created tedious and exotic workout methods. But who has time for all that? To make things worse, Pornhub.com, with its huge offering of adult content, keeps users glued to their seats even longer. The truth is that no matter how busy you are, you always find time to get busy. That's why we came up with a unique healthy solution that won't just get you fit, it'll get you fit as f***. Introducing BangFit, the fitness method gyms don't want you to know about. For years, experts around the globe have promoted the benefits of sex for the mind and body. You'd be surprised, but when it comes to making love, you work out way more than just one muscle. And now Pornhub's going to prove it. Here's how it works. BangFit is a game-based fitness program that will get you into shape while having the time of your life. Just go to our website and choose a sexercise routine. Next, select the number of players and gender. Then sync the website to your smartphone, attaching it to your waist with the official BangFit band. The objective of the game is to hump along with the video on the screen, copying each movement in order to get your muscles working. The better you coordinate your moves, the more points you get. You won't be pumping iron, but you'll be pumping nonetheless. When the sexercise comes to an end, you'll get your final results and ranking. But this game isn't about who wins top honors, because with BangFit, everyone scores.
Joe is shaking his head during this. I take it, Joe, you will not want to play BangFit.
Oh, it's too much preparation. I get enough trouble getting my iPod out and stuff to hop on the treadmill at the gym. I get a horse around with all this other stuff.
Okay. Would you want a BangFit?
That sounds hilarious and fun. Yes.
I don't think I would.
No, why not?
I think it's very... how do you ask somebody? Was it something you would want to BangFit alone with, or would you want to, you know, with Mr. Helix?
Well,
or somebody
know.
Else who might have judged?
Well, it says... Well, it says for how many players. I didn't assume that it was for one.
Well, it could be one or... It could be partners or a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, if you want to do, you know, by yourself, you could use, you know, work on curls. You know what I'm saying? You know, you could do that.
You're very optimistic.
Girls.
Don't think so, my friend. But you're Scottish,
not African American.
I think you'll work on the tendons in your wrist and call it a day.
Yeah, and look at the bandage on
exactly,
that one.
He's injured.
Using the program.
That's what you love about Joe Curry. He sees a commercial, he's like, I'm going to try it out for the show.
Yeah.
You didn't stretch out properly, so.
Yeah. Brings a whole new meaning to man down.
Yeah.
You know, I would with a partner, absolutely.
You would do it. Are you going to try it? It's free.
You know what? We don't watch porn, except I do for the show. But
people don't understand what you're talking about.
No, I know.
Like everyone. All right, guys. Here's your assignment. Gang bangs. Have it on my desk by Monday at noon.
We've gotten worse.
Yes, we have.
You have. You deserve worse.
Yes, we have. But no, I think that would be fun.
Are you going to try it? Try it. I think you have to try it and report back to the show.
That's right.
Yes, you have homework. It's been solved.
Mr. Helix, you've been warned.
That's right.
Do you find that it says like people, the one thing they're not too busy for is sex? I find I'm a little too busy for sex. I got things to do.
Yeah, I don't think that, I don't agree with that.
I got shows to edit.
Yeah, no, it's like.
I got angry emails to send off to Joe. I can't be bothered.
Yeah.
By the time I get read them and holler back, you know, I don't got time for games either. You know?
Yeah, no, I think that people do lose time for sex. And so that part wasn't really True.
So, like, let's say you're not happy with your partner's performance. Like, what do you hit to reset? Because when you're playing a video game, like, if it stinks, you reset it. That's what we always used to do, reset.
Rewind? I don't know. No, well, it's not VHS, so I guess you just bring it back to the
start.
No, it's
a video
game. Start
game.
Over again.
Like, but you got it. There's always a button to hit. Well, where's that on your partner? You just punch her in the nose?
You know where the button to hit is.
Well.
That'll reset things.
Going for the high score.
Would the equivalent of a cheat code, because a lot of these video games have cheat codes, would the equivalent of a cheat code be like a vibrator?
What's a cheat code?
Cheat code.
Cheat code.
Oh, a cheat code. Okay.
A cheat code.
Yeah, a cheat code. I'm like, you bring some
leave the Mexicans
in.
Out of this.
I think out of this.
They're doing jobs Americans don't want to do. All right. All right. Joe, where are you going to be?
I'm going to be at Jester's Comedy Club on June 4th.
I won't. For a change.
So check out joecurry.com or Joe Curry Nation for information on that. Jester's Comedy Club.
Joe comes to my neck of the woods, and I shan't be there.
Yes.
But where I will be, we have a lot of affiliates in New Mexico, because I insisted. So I got a big tour coming up. Wednesday, June 1st, I'll be in Mescalero, New Mexico, at the Inn of the Mountain Gods Resort and Casino. For tickets, call 575-464-7089. Thursday, June 2nd, I'll be in Santa Ana, Pueblo, New Mexico, at the Santa Ana Star Casino. For tickets, call 505-867-0000. Friday, June 3rd, I'll be in Farmington, New Mexico at the Sunray Park and Casino. For tickets, call 505-566-1200. Saturday, June 4th, I'll be in Montrose, Colorado at Canyon Creek Bed and Breakfast. For tickets, call 970-249-2886. Sunday, June 5th, I'll be in Los Lunas, New Mexico at the Wild Pony. For tickets, call 505-721-7349. And if you're in Albuquerque and you need a place to stay, you can always check out the Hotel Blue. So, yeah. Got a big tour of New Mexico coming up. Very exciting.
That is interesting.
It is. First time there. Covered a lot of stuff tonight.
Yeah, we did.
We did. I hope nobody got covered in any stuff, but we covered a lot of stuff. As always, check out the whole unedited show on davinsden.com. Check us out on iTunes, iHeartRadio. Like us on Facebook, Davin's Den. You can follow us on Twitter, at Davin's Den. Thank you guys for hanging out. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please, please, please keep on listening.